unanswered prayer does not mean that the Lord hasn't heard you. It doesn't equate unheard prayers. So just because God hasn't moved in the way that we expected him to move, it doesn't mean that he hasn't listened.
Magnificat is excited to introduce Magnifier, a new bi-monthly magazine for children ages 7 to 12, filled with wholesome offline entertainment that will awaken their sense of wonder to what is good and beautiful around them. Each issue focuses on one theme, approaching it from different angles. Comics, stories, interviews with artisans, crafts, and art encourage children to appreciate creation and dream about what they can accomplish with their talents. Check it out for yourself at magnifiermagazine.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on our Reason for Hope. I just found out the other day from one of our producers that, you know, more than half the people that watch this show, this podcast, do not subscribe to us. This is insane. I mean, what are you waiting for? Hit the subscribe button now. All right, back to the show.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to A Reason for Hope podcast. My name is Alanis. Excited to be here today, joined by my friend Matt. What's going on, Matt?
Doing well. Really excited to get these podcasts up and rolling. These conversations are very vulnerable, but very dynamic. So thanks for having me again.
Yeah, of course. No, we're so excited to have you. We have a few episodes that we've been filming, recording, and they're all really rich, deep conversations. But today we're really honing in on this concept of what moves the heart of God, right? In prayer specifically. This actually came to me with just this idea of, like, you can have two people, right? Maybe your neighbor, maybe your sister, you guys are praying for the same things. And sometimes the Lord answers their prayer before he answers yours, or sometimes he answers theirs. And for you, it's a no. And it just got me thinking, like, what is it? If we can pinpoint, like, what is it that moves the heart of God?
Yeah.
Before we go into that, though, just to break the ice, how's your prayer life been lately?
Honestly, a lot better. I would say the summer, everything happens in summer season. Different seasons of our lives bring different parts of our faith. So ultimately, with being with family, a lot of that kind of ebbs and flows in my spiritual life. And as we're filming this in the fall, coming into the winter season later in the year, where just trying to figure out where I'm at in this new vocational part of my life. And we're discerning careers, chapters, and ultimately with my spiritual director, finding fertile soil. That's one thing that he's really prompted me to pray with, is find the fertile soil in your life. What's the richness? Where can you find that rich soil, whether it's a new job, new career path? So that's been helping me with my spiritual life. How about you?
I'm glad you have guidance in that. That's great.
Yeah, I'm
a spiritual orphan looking for a director. If there's a priest out there who wants to direct me.
Adopt a Catholic.
Here.
There it is.
AdoptACatholic.com.
There it is.
My prayer life has been good. Again, I relate to the ebbs and flows of it all. I'm looking forward to the day in my life where I have consistency, where I'm just like on fire 24/7. I just went to a worship night recently that was 12 hours from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. overnight.
Whoa.
And that just like lit and renew me so much. So right now I'm like so eager to spend time with the Lord. But there are obviously some days where it can feel more like I'm showing up, Lord, out of obedience because I have to be here. But it's
putting
a little
in the work.
Bit.
Yeah.
It feels like work. Yeah. But what do you think are the common misconceptions and traps that we oftentimes get caught in when we try to actually find favor with the Lord in prayer?
Yeah, I, as someone who's a creative, I contribute a lot to Array of Hope content. I play in a lot of bands, and I fancy myself as an artist and creative, but I think some of the downfall of that is oftentimes we find faith being performative. If I show up a certain way at a certain talk or event or worship night, if I perform a certain way, I'm going to earn the goodness of God or earn the result I've been praying for the rest of my life. So I think as an artist and creative, there's that temptation to be performative, which almost leads to that temptation to want to earn God's love or earn God's favor. We can't earn that. This isn't a transactional faith that we have. Yeah. God is a provident God. He's a giving God. How do we pivot that discussion and pivot that mindset? I'd recommend for myself personally, when I'm in that mode of wanting to earn God's love, a lot of that is rooted in comparison. You know, they say comparison's a thief of joy, right? So I try not to judge or compare my life to others, even though I can't oftentimes be in this very performative, competitive mindset. and not focus on that, but focus on the providential love of God and what he's giving me in that moment, specifically for me. You know, the old adage of like, what's meant for me is meant for me is a very true thing in the spiritual life too. Like God gives you with these graces specifically for you for a reason. How do we utilize that? We'll find more in this conversation for sure.
Yeah, the performance is real. I mean, even in my own testimony, what I just shared about just showing up, sometimes it can feel very ritualistic, very legalistic. Like, I believe I have to do this, so I'm going to do it, as opposed to my heart is drawn because I want to be in relationship with the Father. So that's definitely something to just be cognizant of in our own prayer lives. I think another danger that we can often find ourselves in is having this skewed perception of the Lord. Someone once told me that the heart of God, or God doesn't answer desires, he answers needs, which I don't agree with.
Oof,
right off the bat.
Does he really though?
That is not the gospel.
That is not true. Yeah.
That's the opposite of the gospel. There's just like so many moments in scriptures where we see that he delights in the desires of our hearts. Oftentimes he's the one who puts those desires
on our hearts, right?
We obviously have to examine those desires, make sure it lines up with scripture, make sure it's not disordered, etc. I wanted to dive into 1 Samuel. Are you familiar with the book of 1 Samuel?
Not much, but let's go for it.
All right. This is really like the story of David, but we're not going there yet. So Samuel is a prophet. But the first chapter, literally the first few verses, we see Hannah just like aching for a child. It actually says that the Lord had closed her womb. And so Hannah is, spoiler alert, the mother of Samuel. And Samuel turns out to be this great prophet who anoints David as the first king of Israel. So it's very important. This is a very important book in scripture. And so we're going to read from 1 Samuel. For the first chapter in 1 Samuel, for context, the Lord had closed up the womb of Hannah and she's weeping, she's crying. Her husband's like, why are you crying? Why are you so sad? She explains it to him. And then we read in verse 13, Hannah, while she was praying, Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. He thought she was drunk. That's how like impassionate she was in this prayer moment. And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman sorely troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. My goodness, even just hearing those words, like how many times have we had those prayers where
right
we just like,
feels.
It's an outpouring.
Yeah.
And people probably from the outside are like, this person must be drunk or crazy, because it's such an authentic and genuine prayer of the heart. It says here she was praying from the heart, but her lips were moving. And so, you know, I won't even get into the rest of it. We know the rest of the story. The Lord grants her a child. She presents him to the Lord. He becomes a great prophet. And so if we were to dissect this story and ask ourselves, okay, what was the determining factor in the Lord's heart being moved? Because for years in her life, the Lord had closed up her womb and she must have thought, I am not in God's favor. And so we just see someone who had such bold faith. So that's one of the reasons why I believe the Lord heard her prayer. It was that radical faith.
The boldness in that very moment, yeah.
But number two, it aligned with the Lord's providential plan. Like the fact that this son would become a prophet and then that would just like propel the Lord's plan into action. There needed to be that alignment. So that's why it didn't happen a year ago or a year prior to this.
But in that specific moment in time for a very specific reason.
Yes. So there needs to be like that unity of like a heart that's filled with faith in like, I know my God is capable. He is more than able of making this come to pass. But also it needs to align with the timing
of God.
It's
twofold. It's both boldness and the alignment is what you're trying to say.
That's my theory.
Yeah. That makes sense. Totally. I think it's we want everything in our own time frame, in our own timeline. This is the agenda and the script that I wrote, like even with the content that we make here at Array of Hope or anything that we produce, right? Here's the agenda, what we're going to make. But oftentimes the Holy Spirit takes us to where we're meant to
his
go
time,
in
yep.
his own timeline and his own favor, right? And we think about how are we favored when we're given what we're asking the Lord, or if we don't get what we ask for, are we still favored? Are we still chosen? That's one thing that I've struggled a lot with in my own prayer life. But I've mentioned this in the past too, Isaiah 43:1, you are mine. He calls us each by name, right? We belong to him. So despite us not feeling chosen or not given what we were asking for, we're still belonging
chosen
to him regardless of
yes,
the outcome.
Yes, that's great. What do you think is actually required for us to be favored by God? Is there something specific?
Ooh. In regards to favoring, I had this really great story about being favored and just like the emphasis of relationship and being chosen in relationship, right? So I went on a JP2 retreat years ago in Denver, Colorado, in the middle of the snow, like no Wi-Fi, no signal service. It was the middle of nowhere. And these Carmelite, these really sweet French Carmelite nuns were giving this talk. And it was really, really, really spiritual weekend for all of us. But in terms of feeling favored and chosen, and especially that relational intimacy with the Lord, she actually brings up, and this is a religious sister, mind you, she's bringing up the story about going to a coffee shop with the one that you love, like a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, spouse. And when you're with somebody, you're at the coffee shop with this person, you're not trying to distract yourself with your phone and talking, looking at the TV and reading a book in front of them. No, you want to gaze into their eyes, the eyes of your beloved. So when you're in, say, an adoration chapel, or you're praying to the Lord, or you're trying to seek that relationship and you want to be chosen and favored, how do you really bring that emotion spiritually or that feeling about when you're in that dynamic relationship with God? Is you want to be able to look into the eyes of your beloved, not have any distractions. So when I think of intimacy, I think of being favored and being chosen. I think of that nun all the way in Denver a few years ago. Like, how do I really build that sense of real beloved intimacy with the Lord? So a lot of that, as mentioned prior, is just like trying to put yourself in these silent positions, disconnecting yourself from the phone, from technology, taking retreats. I think we as young adults especially don't go on retreats enough. A lot of my friends are so focused on the adulthood, you know, goals and needs, whether that's jobs and relationships and buying a house or whether thriving in your own worldly lives, which is great. And they're great aspirations. But sometimes we need that retreat to kind of take us out of those moments and bring us back to that relationship with God.
Yeah.
Are you looking for a comfortable brown scapular that won't break? Check out our sponsor, Scapulars.com. They use American-made paracord, so it's super strong. And they also use Australian merino wool, so it's super comfortable. It feels like you're getting a warm hug from your heavenly mother. Click on the link above or below in the description and get yourself the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world. Hello, and thanks for being with us here on A Reason for Hope podcast. Been very grateful of the many years that we've been doing this for you. This is our sixth season with hundreds of podcasts already released. Although they're free to watch and listen to, they're not free to produce. So I'm asking that you discern to contributing and donate to A Reason for Hope podcast. We're a nonprofit organization. Every dollar, every penny is tax deductible. All you have to do is go to our website and click donation and navigate the podcast. All the funds that you donate will go to the production of this podcast. Thanks again, and may God bless you.
I agree with that. I think that there is so much truth in finding favor, receiving favor when you're in a relationship with like the one that you love. But how, the question is like, how do we strengthen that relationship?
Yeah, I would say it's a couple of things, right? I've mentioned this in past content with A Ray of Hope, right? Where oftentimes we have to move from that to-do list, checklist spiritual life into really that relational spiritual life that transforms us. And we think about like the to-do list and checklist, how many times you go to mass and do all the Catholic things. And these are great, the parts of the church that God bestows and gifts us with, right? But what is actual relationship? Relationship requires refining. It requires obligation and structure. These relationships aren't, you know, fluid. They're really concrete relationships we have with the Lord and His church, right? But ultimately, these relationships should stretch our faith, and they should stretch us to become better Catholics and better Christians. A really great analogy that I love Bishop Barron videos. I watch him all the time to kind of get me hyped for these podcasts and just hyped for life, right?
Yeah.
One thing that I try to compare the Lenten season to, I work in a secular corporate world in New York, and oftentimes my non-Catholic friends are like, what is this whole Lent thing about? Y'all just give up chocolate and like have ashes on your forehead at the office? Like, what's it all about? And Bishop Barron has a really great description or expression of Lent through like the lens of like sports, right? So he compares the Lenten season to spring training in baseball. So when you're in spring training in baseball, you're with other like-minded people training, refining, getting to hone your craft, practice. That's why we're called practicing Catholics for a reason, right? You're in the season with others, usually a coach or leader helping you refine your ability during these seasons of your life. And the Lenten season is very similar to that. So when I think of stretching myself, I think of whether that be Lent, Exodus 90, fasting, prayer, all these great things from the church, they should stretch our faith And there should be seasons of our lives to be able to really grow in relationship with God.
Yeah. I love the point you made about even being refined, because I think a lot of times we assume our relationship with the Lord is going to be lovey-dovey, like yeah. those dates that you're describing,
easy.
But sometimes
yeah.
it's a bit stretching, and it takes a purification and a pruning, and sometimes that calls us to trials. So some may look at Job and believe that he wasn't favored by the Lord.
By a worldly lens, for sure.
Yeah, of course, because of all of those misfortunes that he was experiencing. But really, at the end, it said that his misfortunes were given to him threefold, right? That's the favor of the Lord. And it's like walking and abiding with the Lord, even in the midst of those trials. So what if we do all of these things and God still doesn't answer our prayers? Like, how do we rationalize that?
I always lean on this answer for anything spiritual that's a mystery to me normally, is normally if there's a lack of answer, a lack of clarity, one, yes, speaks spiritual guidance and mentorship, like spiritual directors and things like that. But also, I try to view things as lessons in patience at all times. So if I'm like waiting for something, whether I'm on, you know, a line for the grocery store or getting on the train, anytime there's any obstacle in my path spiritually, maybe it's an Ignatian kind of thing. But ultimately, it's where's the lesson in patience throughout all this? That's one thing I kind of lean on. And speaking of spiritual direction, my new spiritual director, Father Francis, gave me some great advice about spiritual apathy this year, especially when you're trying to really grow in your faith. And me personally being involved with these great ministries and organizations, as probably you are as well, spiritual burnout is such a real thing, right? It's something that we all
totally.
Suffer with when we're serving in these really great Catholic ministries. And I brought it to my spiritual director and I told him I feel just a sense of numbness. For the first time, I'm so active. I love God. I go to Mass. I love being Catholic, but I'm feeling like a spiritual numbness in the season of my life. And my new spiritual director, Father Francis, he gives me this nice little imagery. He goes, you know, when you go to the dentist or a surgeon, normally they have to numb you in order for God to do his work in you. So if you get like, say, a root canal or, you know, wisdom teeth taken out, for example, you're numb to some degree for them to remove those ailments. When you are visiting a surgeon, for example, that has to work within you, they have to numb you before they enter in. Yeah. So he told me to see the sense of numbness and almost spiritual apathy as a way for the Lord to enter in. And since then, even though we all face apathy, we're all human beings, we all struggle with numbness, but to see that numbness as a way for the Lord to enter in is probably the best way to see it and view it in that context.
Yeah, that is wise.
Yeah.
I'm really blown away by that analogy. I think that just healed something in me. That's so good. The key takeaway, but with all of this stuff, is unanswered prayer does not mean that the Lord hasn't heard you. It doesn't equate unheard prayers. So just because God hasn't moved in the way that we expected him to move, it doesn't mean that he hasn't listened. So he bends his ear toward us every single time that we do call out to him. We often hear the phrase that rejection is God's protection.
Ooh,
have you heard that
before?
Yeah,
all the time. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So while that sounds encouraging on paper, on the receiving end, it can feel like really excruciating, and it's not very fun to be on the receiving end of that rejection. And it kind of feels like a door was just slammed shut in your face. But in reality, God's no or his not yet, in some instances, it was never meant to harm us. It's meant to shield us from the things that we might not even be aware of. To your point about like the patience and the perseverance. Actually, there's a Bible verse in Romans 5. It says that suffering, or even silence in this case, it produces endurance. And then that endurance produces character. And that character produces hope. So none of it is wasted. It's all an opportunity to learn, to grow. That tension that we oftentimes want to escape is the tool that God is using to form us into.
It's the integral tool that God needs for that spiritual, you mentioned that spiritual journey in Romans 5. It's not like, here's where I start, I get what I want from God and I'm good. There is that process of purgation and trying and error and endurance that builds over time, because that's what builds character over time. That's what makes us probably what God wants us to be at the end of the day, is like true disciples of God. But with discipleship comes discipline, and with discipline comes a lot of hardship and a lot of suffering, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's all an act of maturity, right? In scripture, it says that gold is tested in the fire and the righteous in the furnace of humiliation. So it all is, it's like an invitation to grow into like the adult that the Lord wants
us
to be.
Yeah, it's real growth. I had this really great meditation. I have a lot of my prayer moments on the train, because I work in the city. It's kind of another recurring thing with these podcasts, where I'm always kind of commuting, whether it's traveling for a Ray of Hope or music or work. I'm always on a train for some reason in my life. And in my meditation and prayer, I was really praying to God just to enter into my experience on the train. And he put this word, or at least this sentence, in my meditation that humility is the vehicle toward the divine. That, like, how do I get from point A to point B, from here to heaven, from earth to the afterlife, right? Humility is the vehicle toward the divine. So that's one thing that I brought into my own prayer life, is really forming myself in that. And also practically speaking, we're talking about, you know, forming ourselves, especially through humility. We need to sit with and build relationships with others that are also healed. If we hang out with people that have these misconceptions about the church and these church wounds, unfortunately, they may not help us in our formation as a spiritual person, as a Catholic and as a Christian, right? Oftentimes right. You have the whole adage of hurt people, right? That's a huge, that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. So we need to situate ourselves with people that are healed, that have healed perspectives of the church, healed perspectives of God, to help us heal ourselves and form ourselves to be the children of God that God calls us to be, right? I love this this great quote too from Thomas Merton, a church mystic as well. We're talking about doors, opening and closing doors, right? We all become doors and windows through which God shines back into his own house. When the love of God is able to love you through me, and you are able to love God through me. So being the windows and doors for people, to be the light that shines, is a really big calling, especially in the spiritual life. But I hope that moves God when we are acting at that as that light for other people.
Yeah. And who better to learn from than those mystics that you were quoting, or even biblical figures? All throughout scripture, we have examples of people who found favor with the Lord. And there's always just like this common denominator in it. We've touched on it, but in Genesis 6:8, it says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So God chose Noah, not because he was perfect, and we know his story, he was not perfect, but because he walked faithfully with the Lord. In Exodus 33, it says, to Moses, the Lord said, you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And that knowing, there's like such an intimacy there, going back to the relationships that we were referring to. God speaks to Moses personally, which shows that favor is really rooted in that source of relationship, first and foremost. And so in any moment where you're, contemplating, you know, why isn't the Lord answering me? He must not love me. Obviously, go back to that scripture verse that you pointed at, where we are chosen, we are loved, right? We're fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord. But also there are instances in scripture where someone called out and they weren't answered. There were instances in scripture where they were answered. Again, like, the root was relationship. And even when we have relationship and our prayers aren't answered, we're content, right? Because we don't idolize the reward. We idolize the person who gives the reward and the gift.
Amen. Yeah. The saints are awesome. Let's take a breath just to mention the saints are awesome. We can learn so much from people in scripture, the saints in our spiritual lives, right? They give us that model of how to really surrender and pray and build that relationship, build that favor to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. Sainthood also is an ongoing process, right? Yeah. It's an ongoing endeavor. I'll have to quote a lot of religious here as well. St. John Henry Newman once said, to live is to change, and to be perfect is to change often. So once again, to live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often. So sainthood is something that, even though we may feel out of favor, in favor, the ebbs and flows of spiritual life, it's not to just change once and you're done. Mm-hmm. No, it's an ongoing purgation. It's an ongoing purification. It's an ongoing process, right? And what really helped the saints in that sense of purgation and process were the sacraments. Communion, confession, right? These regular things that the church gives us to form us, help us to become better people, right? What's been your relationship with the sacraments now that you've received one of the most pivotal sacraments, right? Mm-hmm. Marriage. How's that been for you?
Wow. I just got chills when you said that. Sometimes I forget. It's so fresh. I've been married for 3 months. It's again, in a past episode, I touched on the fact that I was in deep warfare during engagement season. And as soon as I entered into the vocation, it was like this weight was lifted. And also there was just like an activation, and I might be getting away, but I'll connect the dots somehow, some way. I just feel like there was an activation in my feminine gifts, like even the gift to serve and to receive. Like, these are, I'm the youngest child. I never had the gift of servitude or servantship, whatever the word is. I've never been someone who has been able to like self-sacrifice for another person.
And you felt that as you received the sacrament.
As soon as I did, I'm like, I just want to like serve this man. I want to love him through sacrifices, through making him meals, through waking up early, right? Be that Proverbs 31 woman. And that's how I found favor with my husband. I'm just kidding. So yeah, the sacraments are really there to aid us in these moments. And and they're there to edify us, and so we need to take advantage of them and all get married. I'm just kidding. And no, just make use of those sacraments of reconciliation in those moments that we stray, when we fall into those performance mentalities, when we fall into believing we have to do X, Y, Z in order to receive graces. That's a free gift. Like, it's all a free gift from the Lord.
It helps us form ourselves, become better people at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Speaking of the gifts that the Lord wants to give us ultimately is himself. And we get to receive that through the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is available for us in every single Catholic church in the world. So that's just been my relationship with the sacrament.
I love that. Yeah. Especially with the Eucharist, we touched upon that earlier, right? I'm the quote guy. I guess I love Catholic quotes. I live by these. They're in my bones, man. So see, Thomas Aquinas has a really great line here. The Eucharist is the sacrament of love. It signifies love. It produces love. The Eucharist is the consummation of the whole spiritual life. And you could tie a lot of the sacraments, especially with holy matrimony and the Eucharist. There is that sense of consummation there that's really beautiful. And I don't know if you could speak to this as we're both fellow theology, the body nerds, right? Yeah. I remember Christopher West was talking about how with the Eucharist, the wheat from the bread represents the masculine, and then like the grape from the wine represents the feminine or something. And I've always seen the consummation of the Eucharist tied to the consummation of holy matrimony. In
wow.
That sense. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if I can even expand on that. That's really profound, and I feel like it's something I need to chew on for some time.
Yeah, chew on that. No pun intended, I guess, yeah.
That's a good one.
That's
a great one.
I got you.
Chew on the body of Christ. But honestly, like, if we think about it, talk about the favor of the Lord. There is, like, no other example of being more favored than having a God who literally gave his body for us. Every single Mass, we get to receive him, consume him, get everlasting life through him. It says, you know, apart from me, you have no life in you. And so, quite favored, if I do say
chosen
so myself. I think
we all
are favored, right? We are the chosen ones. This was great. This was a great conversation.
Yeah,
Matt.
Thanks be to God. Thanks for having me again.
Of course. Thank you for being here. Guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. We hope it was edifying for you, that you received from it. We'll catch you guys on the next one. God bless.
In addition to producing this podcast, A Ray of Hope is also known for producing events such as retreats, missions, conferences, and concerts. If you'd like to learn more about what we offer, just go to our website and click on Experience. There you can see and learn all the various programs that we offer. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.